As we open our Bibles this morning, we're back to the Ten Commandments. We're down to the last two. This morning we're on the ninth commandment. And the Lord willing, we'll be able to complete this shortly. But as we do so, we want to remind you that the Ten Commandments are given to us by God. They are not rescinded. They're not cast off. They're not thrown away. They're not irrelevant because we're in the New Testament. And I encounter many believers that want to do that. They want to say that, hey, the law is past. Well, that's true. The law of Moses, the law of the deeds of the flesh, circumcision, and all of those laws are past. But the law of God stands for all of time. And God's commandments are God's commandments, not Moses' commandments. When he brought those down from the mountain, it was a covenant relationship in which God said, "You are my people. Be holy, for I am holy." God lays down the law and says, this is the standard of righteousness. This is a standard of conduct for my people. The first four of those commands deals with our relationship with God. That as Jesus said, we shall love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Those are reflected in those first four commandments. We ought to often look to those to see if we measure up. We shouldn't go around with blinders thinking, no, I think I'm doing all right. You measure yourself by the law of God and the commands of God. And then the last six are about your relationship with other people. As Jesus said, the second commandment is like unto the first. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And so as we've gone through those commands, we have found that God has given us commands that are moral laws for our dealing with one another. You shall not kill or commit adultery or steal or lie or covet. As we've looked at these commands, we have reminded you that God has never ordained, nor has he ever commanded, that these commandments should be posted in a public place. You remember that? So when you get these petitions going through saying, please, let's put this into the city hall, that's not God's command. It's a good idea, but it's not God's command. God's command is you put it in your house. And as most of us have confessed as we began this series, we don't have the Ten Commandments posted in our house. Why not? God said to do it. God said keep it before you so that when you go in and when you come out, you're reminded of God's standards. Therefore, we take God literally and we challenge you. Get the Ten Commandments and put them in your house. You don't have to spend a fortune. We provided some printouts for you. And some of you have done a wonderful job putting those into frames and putting it up in your house. We thank God for that. So the commandments of God are good and they are perfect and they are for us. As we look this morning, we are dealing with the ninth commandment. But let's read through those commandments once again, as we have each time that we've gone through, and remind ourselves what God has said. Are you ready? Can you do it blindfolded? No. We're just going to do the bulleted Ten Commandments. Let's do it together. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And thou shalt not covet. May the Lord bless the word to our hearts this morning. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we stand in your presence this morning, we recognize and we declare that we are in your presence. And you have said in your presence is fullness of joy. And so we pray that even as we go through this, the ninth commandment, and as we are convicted in our hearts of things that are not right in our lips, in our words, that you would help us to confess that in your presence is fullness of joy. There's joy in recognizing our sin and finding forgiveness and finding restoration. Bless your word to our hearts, Lord. We pray for your understanding. We pray for your guidance. In Jesus' name, amen. The ninth commandment. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor is the old King James way of saying it. If we were to put that into modern paraphrase or halfway between King James and halfway between now, we'd say thou shalt not lie. That's the essence of the commandment. If you are a believer, if you are a child of God, you are like your heavenly Father. Be holy, for I am holy. If you are like your heavenly Father, he says, I do not lie, you shall not lie. Which means tell the truth, whatever the cost. Tell the truth, whatever the cost. Now, as we begin this, I want to do an exercise with you. And as always, I'm going to take my jacket off because I'm going to get all sweaty. I get worked up. I want all of you to raise your right hand. No exceptions. All right. We have in our government an established law that says you shall not perjure yourself in a court of law. That means if you go to a court and there is a judge and a jury, before you are allowed to give testimony, you must raise your right hand. And in fact, we still have put your hand on the Bible. Now, that's a symbolism. And you are made to say these words, or at least to affirm these words. Do you swear to tell the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God? And you say, maybe. All right, get those hands back up. I didn't say you could put it down. You're in a court of law. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Yeah, I do. You may be seated. You may put your hands down. Now, if you were in a court of law, you are under an oath. You are under a commitment to tell the truth at all costs. And to bring that to bear, the government has a penalty for you if you lie. You stand in contempt of court. That is, you could receive a fine and a jail sentence if it's revealed that you lied or fudged or fibbed or stretched the truth in any way, shape, or form. I thank God for our government. I thank God for that kind of godliness that still exists in America today, that people that stand before a court of law are called to task about their truthfulness. And they are to swear an oath that they will be truthful. But you know, God never intended us to have to swear an oath to truthfulness. God says, you are my people, and you are to be holy. That means without ever raising your hand and ever putting your hand on the Bible, as a child of God, you are to tell the truth all the time. Nothing but the truth, and the whole truth. By the power of God. I want to ask you a question this morning. Do you tell the truth all the time? Ring. Hello? My husband? Tell him I'm not here. My husband? You're here. I can't do what I was supposed to do. Tell him I'm not here. Well, he's not here at the moment. Could I take a message? What is that? I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. And I just lied. We can go through our lives and we can see all kinds of illustrations of the little fibs. We call them what? White lies. No, we call them little white lies. We keep shrinking it. Not just a white lie. It's a little white lie. Or an itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot lie. And we think because we diminish its size, diminish its penalty, we somehow escape the responsibility of telling the truth. God says we as believers are called before God to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help us God at all times. Now that doesn't mean when you walk in a room and you see a lady that doesn't look so good that day, that without any response or without any questioning, you should just walk up and say, my goodness, you look ugly today. Or nor should you walk up to your brother or friend or Sunday school teacher and say, my goodness, didn't you brush your teeth this morning? You have bad breath. You see, there was a movement in the 70s in the States where people grabbed hold of one particular passage of Scripture, and lots of books were written about it. And the idea was you should speak the truth in love. And it's just kind of like a venting situation. I'm going to speak the truth, but I'm in love. You're ugly, sister. You need to use a little makeup for your health's sake. And you could use some scope, if not daily, hourly. God says that we are His people, and that is the premise on which He builds the commandments. We are in a covenant relationship with Jesus Christ. We belong to Him. And therefore, because we belong to Him, we are to be like Him, so others see Jesus in us. I want us to consider three things this morning. Why people lie, what is a lie, and why lying is wrong. Very simple. Why people lie. Now, as we come into this, I want to do this like that game show. And I wish we had all the bells and whistles, actually the bell, the gong that goes off. And I hate this program. Absolutely hate it. But, you know, I think it's called Family Feud. It's the idiot's game. Not based on truth, but what your opinion is. And what they do is they propose something to the audience, everybody marks it down on their computer somehow, and they tabulate all the scores. So the answers are based on people's public opinion of what you think. So I'm going to ask you what you think about why people lie. If I could give you another 5 minutes, which I won't, and you had to write down why people lie, what would you say? Why do people lie? We go to the first one. And you may have it on your list or you may not have it on your list. And it goes, gong, and the first one comes up. People lie to look better, to brag about themselves. That is, people tell lies so that you get the impression that they're better than they really are. Do you ever do that? Ladies, do you lie about your weight? Or do you just stay off the scale so you don't know? Guys, do you lie about your height? Thank you. At least we have one honest person. You lie about your height. You know, guys are really conscious about bulk, masculinity and all. When I was in high school, I waited to get 6 foot tall. Never came. I waited to get 5'11". Never came. I was pushing 5'10", but never came. The highest that I was ever measured, the tallest that I ever became, was 5'9.5". But if I stood and was measured today because of my old age, you know, the settling of the body, it's probably more like 5'9.25". But if you look on my license, it's still 5'9.5". Now, not that I lied about that, but the measurement that was given to me was 5'9.5", and I still go by that. You know, sometimes we are involved in trying to make ourselves look better. Why do people lie? People lie to make themselves look better. What's your IQ? What's your SAT score? Can't remember, but I think it was something like 1,300, 1,400. Guys, what's your golf score? Woo! You get done with that game and you had a couple mulligans, didn't you? And we said, well, that's innocent stuff. No, God says nothing is innocent. Because what we're doing is, by a pattern of deceit and lying, we're building into ourselves some defects in character. If we lie about our weight, our height, our IQ, our SAT scores, or anything else, it builds into us a characteristic of lying. Why do people lie? To look better. Secondly, why do people lie? Gong. They lie to deny something embarrassing. To deny something that was embarrassing. Now, probably we ought to speak to all kids this morning. And all of you were kids. You just got a mask of age on you right now. Do you remember the time you were caught in something embarrassing? I remember a time that we were caught down by the riverside looking at magazines that shouldn't have been down by the riverside. And my little brother ran home and took one of the pages with him. And he ran into the house and he gave it to Mom in the kitchen. I tell you, there were some squirming boys in that house. And Mom says, "What? I am so ashamed of you. How could you ever do this?" Wasn't me. I didn't look. I only looked at the face. Oh, you know what I'm talking about. How easy it is to avoid an embarrassing situation and allow ourselves to fall into a lie, a deceit, a contrived idea of the way it is, but it really wasn't that way at all. Why do people lie? They lie to save face. It's always about me. I want to appear the way I think I ought to look. I know what's right to do, and I haven't done it, but I'm going to cover it up anyway. Oh, you ladies here this morning. How many of you are wearing makeup? Oh, why do you wear makeup? To make yourself look better than you really are. Guys, do we wear makeup? No. Couple of you. We don't wear makeup because what you see is what you get. Actually, we don't wear makeup because we get made fun of. This morning while I was shaving, I was in a hurry. And I cut myself right here. Took an hour and a half for that baby to stop. I mean, it just kept, you get it dried up, and then you walk around a little while later, you get this little drop of blood. And I was looking for one of the little pencils. What do you call those things? Septic pencil. We didn't have one. So I came to the office, and it was still bleeding. I told Pastor Paul, and he said, "Why don't you put a piece of toilet paper on it like everybody else and show everybody you're just like me?" And I say, "Not in my life." Oh, we are such phonies sometimes. Now, there's nothing wrong. I'm not scolding you for wearing makeup. Please, some of you need to wear it. No. I don't think there's anything wrong with wearing makeup any more than there's something wrong with brushing your teeth or using soap. It is to cover up so that other people don't have to suffer. But why do people lie? They lie to deny something embarrassing, to cover up that which is, to save face. Third, why do people lie? Gong. They lie to cover up mistakes. Lie to cover up mistakes and to look innocent. Do you ever see a kid that was caught, did something wrong, broke the dish, spilled the milk, and Mom comes in and says, "Who did that?" And he goes, and he's looking for a way to divert the attention from himself, and he sees the cat. And he says, "Well, Kitty did it." It's a way of diverting the attention and the guilt away from yourself. It's a way of passing the blame onto someone else. You see, we have this habit of covering our mistakes. We see a light behind us flashing and a siren that goes, "Woo!" And I know what happens. It's been many years since that happened. Whew. I remember I was on my way from Clymer, Pennsylvania to Youngstown, Ohio, and I was with a new guy in the church, and we were going to look at church buses, and we were chatting away, and I was going down a hill with my Opel, which is a four-cylinder that acted more like a two-cylinder. And so when you went up the hills, you got real slow. When you went down the other side, you had to catch up time. It's average speed. And I came over that hill and was shooting down, and I saw the cop in the bushes. Oh, no, he got, oh, no. So we discussed what to do. We had a few moments before the next cop picked us up down at the bottom, and there was a road to turn off. We actually discussed it. Should I turn off and get away with it? I cover my mistake. No, we ended up going down to the bottom of the hill, getting pulled over and flush face and all. He pulls me over and says, do you know you're going 85 in a 55-mile-an-hour zone? I say, oh, I'm a pastor. I'm on the way to buy a bus. But I did explain the Opal to him, and he says, yeah, I get it all the time. You see, people lie to make up for their mistakes and to cover up. What is another reason they lie? Gong. To get away without paying for something. To get away without paying for something. You apply for life insurance. And it says, do you have any debilitating diseases? Do you have diabetes? And you got diabetes, but you know if you put it down there, they're not going to give you insurance. And so you pretend that it was last year and you didn't know you had your diabetes. You put down there a little check mark. It was a check mark. You could always say later, oh, I just marked the wrong block. Lie. You see, we lie sometimes because we are trying to get away with something. We're trying to get away with not paying for something that really is our responsibility to do. And so when IRS comes along, you fill out those strange questionnaires that come every year. And it tells you to put down everything that you earned. Do you conveniently forget some of the stuff you earned and disqualify it and say that doesn't count, it's none of their business? Lying. It's a sin. Lastly, why do people lie? Gong! People lie sometimes to protect a friend. You saw it with the telephone conversation. Perhaps you do it with your husband or your wife. Tell them I'm not home. Tell them I'm not here. Tell them something that's not true so I can help you. Or high school. How many of you are in high school? Junior high? How many have flunked out of high school? No. If you're in high school, it's so easy to protect your friends that are in trouble by telling a lie. You know, they come in the room and they say, all right, who is throwing the spit wads? What do you do? You point to somebody else? I've been in classrooms, actually on a school bus, where somebody was throwing marbles against the front windshield. I was the driver, I remember. And we stood there with them at the exit to the school and said, nobody's getting off this bus until somebody admits who did that. Do you know every kid on the bus lied? And they all went to the principal's office and they all stayed an hour or two after school because nobody wanted to tell the truth. Nobody wanted to what? Squeal. Nobody wanted to tell the truth is what it's really about. Because they were afraid of the consequences. And sometimes people will do that because lying becomes the convenience. It gets us out of trouble. It covers us from embarrassing moments. It makes us look better. It gets us away from making mistakes. And we get away without paying as much as we would otherwise. So people lie for lots and lots of reasons. People lie for some other reasons as well. And they're not all listed here. Some of us make promises we don't keep. Parents, especially, promises you make to your kids, you don't keep it. Yeah, we're going to go to the zoo this summer. When you never go to the zoo. Or you tell your kids, I'm going to take you down for ice cream. And then you're too tired. You don't do it. What does your promise become? Not a promise, but a lie. And you're found to be guilty. Sometimes our lies are about our commitments to other people. I'll meet you at such and such a place. Count on it. I'll be there. And you're not there. Sometimes that's a mistake. But other times it's because you just don't follow through on your promises, your covenants. We look at a second aspect of lying. What is a lie? And I want to do this because a lot of people don't understand what a lie is, the difference between truth and a lie. A lie, first of all, is saying what is not true. That sounds simple enough. A lie is stating anything to be true that is not true. It is telling something that is a lie. How else can you explain this? A lie is a lie. A lie is an untruth. A lie is something that is not real, something that is false, and you affirm that is true. We call it by all kinds of names. We call them fibs and little white lies and exaggerations, and we call them innuendos and untrue stories and false accusations, false statements or suppositions or half-truths or deceptions or excuses. But they're all the same thing. If you are saying something that is not true and you know it not to be true, to him it is a lie. God says if you know something is right to do and you do it not, to you it is sin. When you know the truth and you lie deliberately, God says that is a lie. The second thing a lie is sharing facts that aren't. Sharing facts about people, especially, that aren't true. You haven't established the facts. You've heard it from somebody. You heard the rumor. You know it came from a gossipy person, but you pass it on anyway. You know there's something awful about that. And yet people do it constantly. One of my favorite authors mentions this in his book on lying. On the Ten Commandments, G. Campbell Morgan, and I'm going to read his statement. That way, you're not going to blame me for this. He said, lying sometimes is the habit of talking about other people, discussing their affairs. It's a pernicious evil. It's filled with peril to those who do it. It's largely indulged in for want of a better occupation or a lack of mental culture. It's a tactful way of saying, you have nothing better to do than to spread tales about other people. Shakespeare says it this way, who steals my purse steals trash, but he who filches from me my good name robs me of that which enriches him and makes me poor indeed. See, lying is telling something about somebody else that you have not verified. And that we call it gossip or rumor or innuendo. It is spreading tales, usually of evil. You don't usually tell good things about people. But you sit around the room and you talk, and right away the talk starts to go to other people and what they're doing. G. Campbell Morgan says, I hate to say this, and he says this, I quote, I hate to say this, but women seem to be more guilty than men. Men have other sins that are their pitfalls, but women, because they like to talk so much, easily fall prey to sharing facts that are not true. Information that shouldn't be shared because you haven't verified the source. And even if you had verified the source, it's a shame to speak of those things that are done in secret. You shouldn't speak of it. What else is lying? Lying is speaking nothing. Speaking nothing. I remember as a boy, we were at my granddad's place. My granddad was real particular. He had everything in its place and a place for everything. And since they were living in a little trailer up in a camp in upper Michigan, our eight people in the family shared the trailer, and then we got to stay in his garage. And I remember one night we were playing with his radio. We were told not to play with the radio. And we played with the radio, and it was one of those old-time radios, you know, it has a cable that runs through, and you turn the knob, and the cable moves the little dial across. Well, we were playing, and we were trying to find stations up there in Michigan. You don't find very many. So we were moving it all over, and finally, well, I remember I was on it, and I was turning it. Somebody was talking to me, and I looked over, and I kept turning it. Finally, I heard a pop. And I turned, and you know what? That little dial wouldn't go back and forth anymore. It just stayed there. And so I left it alone. But you know that bothered me? I broke my granddad's favorite radio. I said nothing. But all during our stay there, I dreaded the moment that my granddad was going to walk into the garage and see that his radio was broken, and I was going to be the guilty person. I said nothing. We went home. Days passed, and a week passed, and then finally the telephone rang, and it was my granddad, and he was furious. furious. He was yelling at my mother. And he said, "Your stupid kids put their hands on my radio when I told them not to do it, and they broke it." He said, "That's bad enough. But to know my grandchildren would not even admit to me that they did it, that is worse." Lying is when you say nothing and you've done something wrong. You hide it. You put it under the desk. You put it under the table. You pretend it didn't happen. The thing that's broken, you sweep out of the way, you put out of sight, and you say nothing about it. It's a cover-up. It's a lie. What else is a lie? A lie is a misrepresentation of the truth. A lie is misrepresentation of the truth. That is, hiding the truth. Or only telling half a truth. Probably most of the lies that Christians tell are half-truths. We leave out essential, embarrassing ingredients to make ourselves look better. And so we shorten up the truth and don't make it all it should be. For instance, that late fee that you were charged by your credit card company or your bank. And you're upset because it's going to cost you $25 or $30 because you didn't get it in the mail in time. And you call the company and you say, "Wait a minute, my friend, I had that in the mail. It's the post office fault. Ask Kevin Snyder. It's his fault. The postman didn't deliver it. I had it in the mail. It should have been postmarked. You guys failed." And you argue on and on and on. Finally, they say, "Okay, we'll give you grace. We'll take it off your bill." And you hang up saying, "It's a lie. It's a lie." And God says, "I will not hold him guiltless takes the name of the Lord in vain. Who takes the name of the Lord, you are his child, and you lie as though you were a child of the devil." Are you getting uncomfortable yet? Last thing I would mention about a lie is when we are pretending to be something we're not. A lie is pretending. That is, you put on a facade that you are something you are not. In the book of Acts, in chapter 5, in verse 3, is talking about Ananias and Sapphira, who made a decision to follow Christ and said all was on the altar. They surrendered everything to the Lord. And then when people were giving great amounts of money, they sold a piece of property. And they brought the money and they said, "This is the whole amount of money, and we're giving the whole thing to God." Now what they should have said is, "We're going to give you a portion of what we sold. We're going to give you a tithe of it." But they didn't. They said, "We're giving you the whole amount." It was a bold-faced lie. "I surrender all," and I haven't surrendered all. That's a lie. When we are in church and we sing the songs about worshiping the Lord or surrendering our life to him, or "We are the potter and we are the clay, he is the potter," and it's not true, it is a lie. It is called hypocrisy. That word comes from the Greek. It means to put on a mask, to put on a front for other people, but inside, and Jesus talked about it often, those that clean out the outside of the cup make themselves look so good, but on the inside where God sees, you're filled with corruptible and evil and disgusting stuff. And God says, "That is a liar. He is good on the outside. Looks good to other people, but I see the heart." Lastly, we ask the question, why is lying wrong? Pastor, what does it hurt anybody if I tell a little fib? What does it hurt if I tell my wife that I'm not here and she says it on the phone? God says why it's wrong. First of all, God says it's wrong because the devil is the father of a lie. You didn't invent the lie, do you know that? When God put Adam and Eve in the garden, they were not liars. They were pure and they were holy. They were children of the Heavenly Father. He had given them rules, and I believe he gave them the Ten Commandments of things that were and to be and things that were not to be. And God gave them those commands. And you know who came through the garden? Satan, in the form of a serpent, to lie to Eve and connive and trick and deceive her. And she fell into the lie, and she took the fruit and she ate of it. And then Adam came along and he believed his wife and he bit into the fruit as well. And then God came into the garden in the cool of the evening, and God wanted fellowship with the man that he created. And he didn't find man. Adam was hiding behind a tree. God said, "Adam, where are you?" No answer. Lie. I'm not home. Finally, God says, where are you? God knew where he was. He was waiting for his child to be honest. And when Adam came out naked and embarrassed, probably having Stay-Pressed leaves on, he covered his nakedness. And God says, who told you you were naked? And right away, you hear the coughing and the sputtering. And Adam says, the woman that you gave me, she made me do it. Sounds like Flip Wilson, doesn't it? Back from the 60s, the devil made me do it. You see, Adam didn't have the character because he fell into sin. He took on the identity and the characteristics of the evil father of lies, Satan himself, and he began to reflect that image instead of the image of God, and he said, God, it's not my fault. The lady that you gave me, she's the one. And God says, that's not the characteristic of my child. Have you eaten the fruit that I told you not to? And again, another lie, another excuse, another cover-up. God says, because of your sin, you will be put out of the garden. And all of the consequences that followed, you remember them. God says lying is wrong because the father of lies originates a lie, and when you lie, you identify yourself with him. You take on his characteristics. And we as children of God are to take on the characteristics of our heavenly Father through the precious blood of Jesus that washes us from snow, as Judy sang earlier. We are cleansed by his blood. We are made right that we might live according to the law of God. The second reason that lying is wrong is that lying always hides in darkness. That is, lying always hides in darkness. Turn with me to 1 John, and we're going to close with this. 1 John chapter 1. John is writing in his old age to establish the truth with believers and to set the record straight. And he testifies concerning Jesus Christ in the light of the glorious gospel. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 6, he says, beginning with verse 5, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. You see, John says, if we are believers, we are to walk in the light as God is in the light. We don't hide in the darkness. We don't become shadow Christians hiding behind trees, embarrassed by the truth. We come out to the full light of day and say, Lord, I want to live in the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. I want people to see me as I am. I want you to see me as I am. I want to live a transparent life before you, for you are the light of the world, and I am your child. Fourth reason that lying is wrong is found in Revelation 22:15. And God says, whoever loves and makes a lie, if I can translate that into a paraphrase, it says, whoever loves and fabricates a lie will be cast into the lake of fire that burns forever and ever. We're going to preach on heaven and hell tonight. I hope you're here. But God says, if you're a fabricator of lies, you're not a child of God. Well, you can pretend you are. You can go through the facade. You can put on the mask and you can be the hypocrite. And you can say, oh, I love Jesus. I ask him to forgive me all my sins. And I asked him to come into my life, and I hope he did. But I can't tell that. But God knows your heart. And your heart reveals the character of your person, what's really deep inside. If you're a chronic liar, if you're a practicer of lying, if you are a fabricator of misinformation, God says you don't belong to his family. You're identifying with the devil. Last of all, lying is wrong because God is light and truth. Jesus said, and you shall know the truth, and it's the truth that will set you free. I want you to know here this morning as we close, I am a liar by nature. I lied when I was 4 years old. I lied when I was 5 years old. I lied all the rest of my life until Jesus got a hold of that area of my life and convicted me. Do I ever lie now? I hope not. But what does John say in 1 John? He says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, our lying, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if we say we have no sin, we lie and do not the truth. This morning, God's searchlight is showing on each one of us, and I'm not here to condemn any of you. God loves you with an everlasting love. That's why he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for your sins. He wants to redeem you from the hand of the enemy, from the liar that Satan is, and he wants to transport you into the kingdom of his son, and he wants you to be like Jesus. Would you allow God to do that in your life, to clean up your lips, your lies, and your cover-up? Let's bow for prayer. As we close this service this morning, we're not going to sing a song, because I don't want anyone to sing a lie. We're going to just allow a moment for the Holy Spirit to sink in the truth of his word. Sit in silence for a moment. Examine your heart. Lord, you have said, if we confess, that is, with our mouth, out loud, our sin. That is, we identify it. We call it what it is. If we confess our sins, Jesus is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I pray for that this morning, for each one that has held out his hands in prayer earlier, and each one who right now holds his heart before you saying, Lord, search me and try me. See if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Lord, we cast our deceit on you. We cast our fibs, our white lies, our hypocrisy, and ask you to cleanse us from it, that we might be like Jesus. Now, Lord, as we leave this place, we pray that we will have clean hands and a clean heart, that we might go into this world and shine as lights in darkness and expose the hidden things of darkness, that Jesus Christ might be praised. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? And if you are willing to make that covenant with God and ask him to make you truthful, would you just raise your hand with me? I'm a liar, and I have confessed my lies to God, and I ask him to make me new. Lord, we before you today swear to tell the truth by the grace of God, nothing but the truth and the whole truth, by the strength and the power of the living Savior. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you. See you this evening.